Blog Talk Radio.
I'm
things that they're just not supposed to understand.
So, but I do understand the love that the Black Panthers had for seeing bros in a neighborhood getting the ass kicked and knowing that they could do something about it. So I got some good videos today, and I said all the videos from the previous day will be on our website, which they weren't. I don't even know if anybody was interested, but they will be at the end. So tonight is the last of the Black Panther night, and I'm just trying to think what goodies. I think we're going to do Malcolm for two nights tomorrow. Not tomorrow, not Friday. So, again, on most likely Saturday and Monday, we'll do Malcolm X. Okay, so when we last spoke, we talked about play some video, Huey, right, the leader, and Bobby Seale. And they got, most attention for the, you know, stopping and patrolling the police and all that stuff, Cali thing over here in Cali. But eventually, because of things that happened, like what we're going to discuss, they began to be more known nationally because of the things that they were going through. One, for instance, let's see. So, the Free Huey campaign. Okay, so a lot of different things. So from 67 to 68, a lot of things are going on. Well, as soon as they started, because what they started in 67? Yeah, they started in 67. Well, in 69, 2 years into it, 1 year into it, COINTELPRO, and I got some video on that. 1 year into it, J. Edgar Hoover started to plant individuals within the organization, of course, right? Uncle Tom, we talk about Uncle Tom. And if anybody wants to call, please do and talk about this stuff. And I'm finding that my most listened to shows are always Black history. Because you know why? Ain't nobody talking about it. Even the History Channel don't talk about it. So I try to do my best to pull, because I love Black history. I love people that, when I was just a baby, 67, I was 3. You guys, some of y'all wasn't even here, but there was niggas out there trying to help my life be better in the future, because they was taking the hits, taking the shots, taking the COINTELPRO, J. Edgar Hoover, getting their family killed, man. Just trying to fight for us for economic rights. That's really what they were trying to do, because their 10-point program, right, was all about we want decent housing, we want jobs. Well, that's all financial shit. We don't want to go to jail. We don't want to have to go to the military. You know, and that's the time where they were, you know, you got to understand, we'll go over Vietnam War because that was affecting Black people. But they were, you know, that's the draft time, right? So that's why they were like, we don't want to have to go to war. You know? So draft, you know, voluntary, you know, now it's voluntary. But when they was, you know, their 10-point program, it was draft. Okay, you had to go. And niggas was going. One of my brothers, I think that's why he became a priest, because he was like, no, and you could do this or that, or you could go to war. Oh, well, I'm a priest. I bet. I don't know what happened with the other one. Went to the Coast Guard, so all he did was sat in a boat on the coast. Not even a dangerous one. You know, he's chilling. And my dad was in the military, but, yeah, that's what they were talking about. So, as soon as they started to get, confronted and COINTELPRO. So, let's see, by 1969, Black Panthers and their allies had become primary COINTELPRO targets, singled out in 233 of the 295 authorized Black nationalist so they had a Black nationalist program. And the Panthers were 233 of the 295. The goals of the program were to prevent the unification of Black militant Black nationalist groups and to weaken their leadership, as well as to discredit them, to reduce their support and growth. Okay? So J. Edgar Hoover, all that good shit. So not only were they in with, you know, getting in the Black Panthers trying to ruin it, The initial targets included, right, we know the Southern Christian Youth Leadership Conference, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, we'll talk about that, SNCC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, right, is what Dr. King was ahead of, right, the Revolutionary Action Movement and the Nation of Islam, as well as leaders including the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Stokely Carmichael, we'll talk about him, and H. Rapp Brown, Maxwell Stanton, and Elijah Muhammad. Okay, so COINTELPRO attempted to create rivalries between black nationalist factions and to exploit existing ones. One such attempt was to intensify the degree of animosity between the Black Panthers and the Blackstone Rangers, a Chicago street gang. The FBI sent anonymous letters to the Rangers gang leader claiming that the Panthers were threatening his life, the letter whose intent was to provoke preemptive violence against Panther leadership in Southern California, of course, right? So, black people, I mean, you know, today in 2020, we ain't really got no shit right now to infiltrate. Okay, we ain't got nothing to infiltrate. Okay, so when we did, that's the kind of shit. When you do, when we will, when we do, which you got to eventually. But I'm like, well, why? I'll give you, you know, let's exchange, you know, why we got to do this? We really don't, because it's a fear. And starting this week, we're going to go over why they got such a fear, why they have to do this kind of shit, why they think they got to do it. See, it's a psychology type shit. And we're going to I'm going to share all of my thousands of dollars in psychology classes and books with you. Life's going to be so beautiful. And that, I'm trying to figure out the name for that one. Somebody's going to have the word nigga in it. So don't let your nigga go crazy. / psychology for your nigga. Something like that. And we'll have different topics. But yes, and those will be pre-recorded where I'll just load them and they'll be done. Might as well. You know, they'll be out different times during the day. Just help your nigga not go crazy. Something like that. I ain't figured it out yet. Because this is what you get in America if you're black. All you're trying to do is not get shot. Okay, so really, we getting shot. I mean, the same thing. We could get people to do that today if there was an interest in doing it. See, if there was an interest in having it done. If there was an interest in somebody saying, you know, other than, okay, somebody else got shot, okay, let's march. Let's just tell the next time somebody gets shot, you know? So COINTELPRO create rivalries between black nationalists. So if you've ever watched Panther, which I would recommend, it shows all of that, right? It shows all that in the movie. To exploit existing ones, one such attempt was to intensify the degree of animosity between the Blackstone Rangers. Okay. The sent anonymous letter, preemptive violence in Southern California. The FBI made similar efforts to exaggerate a gang war between the Black Panther Party and black nationalist groups called the U.S. Organization, allegedly sending a provocative letter. Okay, so that's all they did. Send letters and shit. Oh, they said they're going to kick your ass. They're going to kill you. And, you know, because there wasn't enough organization in the party or rules of operation that this kind of shit could happen, you know? And, two, a lot of the especially in the L.A. area, a lot of the expansion of the Black Panther Party were basically a lot of gang members. So, you know, it was like, well, you know. And so because of the deep infiltration, right, cops would know where the Panthers were, what they were doing, and that's where all the shootouts and shit would start. Oh, they over here. Oh, they are? Okay, let's go and shoot out. Because, yeah, that was the Panthers' whole shit. You're not just going to kill me. Okay, you Reagan might have took away our guns and shit, but I still got one, you know? So that's when all the shootouts and all that shit. So right now we got some COINTELPRO. Barbara Lee, currently a congresslady in our government system, She knows a lot about it. She was involved in it. And so, you know, we're going to listen to her and some of the her history, and here we go.
The report identified black identity extremists as a threat to law enforcement. Critics say the report is eerily similar to the FBI's 20th century counterintelligence program. COINTELPRO was an FBI operation established in the 50s by J. Edgar Hoover to target African Americans who were fighting for justice and equality. He targeted Dr. King, he targeted Malcolm X, and over 80% of the targets of COINTELPRO were members of the Black Panther Party.
At the height of COINTELPRO, activists and community organizers were targeted. These include current Congressional Black Caucus members like John Lewis, Bobby Rush, Emmanuel Cleaver, and Barbara Lee.
The church committee in the mid-70s held hearings and determined that many of the actions and activities of COINTELPRO were really unconstitutional.
What you've described is a series of illegal actions intended squarely to deny First Amendment rights to some Americans. How shall we ensure that it never happened again?
One of the similarities that I see are that it's based on race. You know, COINTELPRO definitely targeted African Americans. Black identity extremists, which Attorney General Jeff Sessions has put out, targets African Americans. When it was brought to our attention, we immediately contacted the FBI director and had a very forthright meeting. I specifically asked him, how do they identify black identity extremists? Who are they? And there was no answer to that. We still don't know who the black identity extremists are.
A lot of activists around the country are very concerned that we're getting ready to repeat a very sad chapter of our history, where people who are rightfully protesting what they consider to be an injustice in their community, which is their relationship with police officers, are now being targeted and labeled as extremists and are going through periods of surveillance and harassment.
As a community worker, I attended many Black Panther Party functions. I was part of the breakfast program. We registered many people, the African-American community and others, to vote. Well, the FBI, during COINTELPRO, would try to turn members of the Black Panther Party against each other. Agent provocateurs were placed within the party to try to sow dissent.
I was the coordinator of the Illinois chapter.
This is Bobby Rush.
In the summer form, 1969.
I'm going to post it on the website.
Two members of the Black Panther Party were murdered. They put an informant, William O'Neill, standing him inside the Panther Party.
Malcolm X and all the black, you know, Motherfuckers trying to bring a nigga up back in those days, see? So if you're a young person, you need to know, and none of this shit is never going to, it's just like history just keeps repeating itself because we have no, there's no been no solution to this problem other than just dealing with it as a black person because that's in our genes to deal with being stepped on and dealing with suffering. We just figure that's who we are. That's, you know, all y'all were slaves. Well, at some point, you know, can you just stop this shit? And if you can't stop it, I mean, you can. But, it, you know, it's not going to stop. And so I don't know why I'm different, but the only way to get above all this shit is to be able to do what the hell you want to do. Right? You don't give a shit about what white people think if you could wake up every day and not have to deal with them, right? Other than going, driving in your car, or you might got to go to the DMV. So I'm here, and I say this to say that I hope that I can, with how I can help a nigga and what I've done in my life, I'm hoping I can transfer that into life somebody else because I'm not bragging. And Lord knows I'm on my knees every day thanking God that this is the case. And I don't know what I did to deserve it other than I was an excellent mother and put my children first and God first and honored my mother and father. Maybe that's all it takes. Worked hard at the jobs that I did. Maybe that's all it takes. And then deal with adversity as it comes like a pro. Maybe that's all it takes. And then, you know, and always be grateful. My goal is to educate people about where we've been. Everybody know where we are. But where are we going? I'm 55. Now it ain't nothing but a number. But, you know, you got to figure out, you gotta look at your own life and figure out where am I and where do I want to be? Is this where I want to be? Don't let motherfuckers in this world tell you where you want to be. You know what tells you where you want to be? You, nigga, you. And the good thing about God, and I always got to preach, the good thing about God is so good to us and he's so wonderful that he won't put an idea in your head that you can't. That's how good God is. So everybody thought some shit like, nah, I can't do that shit. Mine was I can't work from home. Like, 10 years, it might have been a different kind of way. God said, well, don't ask for it if you don't want it. You see? So God loves you so much that if he puts an idea in your head to be or do or you can do or be or whatever, nigga, you can do or be or whatever. It's up to you to just say, okay, shit. And don't let obstacles get in your way. That's what fucks up the game. Oh, say, oh, but I can't do this, but this is this, and no, this is that. God say, you're not trusting me. It takes a long time if you already ain't halfway on this route. But let me tell you something. God loves you enough that if he puts an idea in your fucking head, he can put it in your hand, baby. So we're going to take a break because Grandma, Mom, Auntie Stacy, my best friend type shit, me, I got to take a break. Be right back, folks. We got some good old shit, and I'm going to finish it all up tonight because we love those Panthers. But remember, 99% of them was gang members, okay? So, you know, take up donations for gang members. Come on, boo. But then again, then you go and you fuck up the game. They let them do their thing, but don't involve shooting them and killing them. That's some shit. Okay, let's take a break, boo-boo. We'll be right back. This is your nigga. Just ask a nigga. Please call me 563-999-3011. You know you love black people. That's why you listen. I love you. We'll be right back. Somebody up at top, they say, okay, you little puppets, do the fuck around, okay? Certain populations we gonna fuck with all the time. Certain people we go, you know, we gonna see if we can just get people hot enough to go crazy. I hope that is not you, because you did not cause this problem. But, you know, I don't know how these people live with themselves with an eighth grader could tell us all that what this president did was wrong and give them let that eighth grader understand the Constitution. And that eighth grader would say, yeah, I think we got to make them go home. But grown ass, old ass, wrinkly ass, old motherfuckers, that by the time you 70, God should have spoken to you to do a right thing, because you don't know. 70's pretty old. Shit, Kobe dead, he's 41. Nigga, you lucky. Oh, no, but you just make wrong decisions based on what? So I don't know what's going on, people, other than 2020, it's going to be explosive. Oh, it's not over, and good will win. Good always wins. It's just some fucked up shit we got to tolerate to see if your head's going to explode before it all happens. Man. Anyway, Black Panther Party, okay, 10-point program in COINTELPRO. As soon as they get started, they ain't been in business 2 years, right? 2 years, the FBI getting all up in their shit, putting niggas all up in it, trying to mess up the game. Of course, because we can't be bringing black messiahs. So 67, 68, right? Ain't that they killed Dr. King, right? 68. So ruin these bros. 68, killing King, start messing with them in 69. I mean, come on, what's wrong? Why are you so afraid of black people getting opportunity like you get every day? That's my question. That's always been my question from the time I was like in my 30s. Like, why are they so afraid for blacks to get the same opportunity that they get? I don't understand that, and I hope you don't understand it either, because it makes absolutely no sense. Okay, so obviously they were really getting up there enough to be on the FBI's little hit list, right? And then during that time, 67 also, Huey gets in a confrontation with the cops, shoots the cop, then he goes to jail, and then we get the little Free Huey campaign. So that becomes a nationwide thing, and from that, all kind of other nationally, a freedom party, motherfuckers join with him. Peace and Freedom Party joins them, a bunch of other, and just Peace and Freedom Party. Okay, I got some information on, and I think I got some video on, but there was just a little fun fact on the Peace and Freedom Party. Because the Peace and Freedom Party outline, dictate, mandate, whatever, they protect gays, women's issues, gays, women, black groups, black issues, black liberation, okay? Women's rights, black liberation issues related to gays. But guess who tried to run for their president in 2014? See, white people, they'll do anything to stay relevant and make money, obviously. And that would be Roseanne Barr. The same Roseanne Barr that tried to out-Trump Trump with her little show that didn't last for the season, right? But in 14, that was just in 14, 2 years prior, right? What? I guess when she got on the Trump wagon, too, as soon as he won. Yeah, 2012, she ran for their president. She tried to be their president for the Peace and Freedom Party. She goes from one to represent gays, women's rights, black liberation, to supporting Trump. That just shows you, man, you'll do anything. Some people will do anything to become relevant and make their money. So Huey, after the little Free Huey campaign, organizations like that began to be his boy and help him out. Okay, so let's see, which thing do we want to talk about? Eldridge Cleaver. So we know Huey and Bobby Seale were the organizers, were directors or whatever. And then Eldridge Cleaver was the Minister of Information, basically the spokesperson. And between Eldridge Cleaver's crazy talk and crazy actions and COINTELPRO, okay, the Black Panthers were on their way on the downslide because just talking crazy shit was very convincing during that time. Good, you know, the thing was calling the cops the pigs, and they were just doing the Donald Trump, Black Donald Trump version of what they felt in the 60s. So during that time, one of their youngest members, Bobby Hutton, very young, born in the South, moved to Oakland when he was a baby. He became a Panther when he was 16. And on the, of course, when Dr. King was assassinated in April of 68, everybody went crazy, including the Black Panthers. So they end up somehow in a shootout, little Bobby Hutton, one of the youngest members of the Panthers. And this is another reason why they got really popular, because his death attracted a lot of famous people. And because, of course, the way that he died, so him and Eldridge Cleaver go hide out in a place where, so I'm sure you've seen, if you've seen Panther, they take your clothes off, take all your clothes off, they ain't going to shoot you if you whatever. And he didn't want to take his clothes off or something, I don't know, but he didn't. He went out and they filled him full of like 14 bullets or whatever. And Eldridge, of course, got away, he went out butt-ass naked. And so what I want to play for you is during that time, they got, you know, Free Huey, they were already getting very popular, and then Bobby Hutton ends up killed. A little kid, right, like they do today, right? Little kids getting killed today. Marlon Brando, my nigga, he shows up for the Black people and wants to say his piece. So I want to show, and see, and today, where's the Marlon Brandos? Well, we got Al Sharpton, Poochie Lips. He'll come out so he can go talk about how he's been helping people for since he was fat, since he was eating steak. I'm sorry. Okay, Marlon Brando. This is my nigga.
Thank you. We just came from Bobby Hutton's funeral. And I'm not going to stand up here and make a speech because white people, you've been listening to white people for 400 years. They said they were going to do something. They haven't done a thing as far as I'm concerned. In re-enfranchising the Black man, it's up to the individual to do something, to force the government to give the Black man a decent place to live, a decent place to bring his children up in. That could have been my son lying there. And I'm going to do as much as I can. I'm going to start right now. White people of what they don't know. The Reverend said, the white man can't cool it because he's never dug it. And I'm here to try to dig it. But I myself as a white man have got a long way to go and a lot to learn. I haven't been in your place. I haven't suffered the way you've suffered. I'm just beginning to learn the nature of that experience. And somehow that has to be translated to the white community now. Time's running out for everybody. That's enough. That's enough talking.
All right, that's enough talking. That's enough talking. So that's my nigga Marlon. Okay? Back in the day. He said, you've been listening, you've been listening to white people for 400 years. And some, right? And some now. So, Gotta love them. That's how we got free, righteous white people like that. Abraham and whoever thought that was a good idea, and he lost his life, right? Anybody trying to help a nigga? So, America needs a psychiatrist, at least a psychologist. If they had a psychologist, they can get some day-to-day help. A psychiatrist can get you some meds, baby. Meds, white people. You like meds. But America as a whole needs a psychologist. Black people have needed a psychologist. They should have gave us a psychologist when we got off the love boat. Because human beings with brains and hearts and feelings and shit. Who's anybody to think that they could control the way your life unfolds? You know? See, we're lucky to live in a time where that shit's ran out. Trust me. It's run out. So Bobby Hutton got killed. Okay. So, you know, it was all about, like Intel, COINTELPRO, getting into shit, putting infiltration, or fucking up the reputation of somebody. That's all it was about. And then, yeah, with the, you know, the folks that all in the business, well, yeah, they know where they sleeping every night. So, yeah, you got a gunfight because the cops going to show up and try to kill the main motherfucker that's really out there trying to help, okay? As soon as you get a prominent, because the thing that, and we're going to go over J. Edgar on a little 15-minute tomorrow. J. Edgar fucked with everybody, okay? We can put J. Edgar in with all of our heroes, okay? J. Edgar was in here with the Panthers, and then J. Edgar, when we talk about Malcolm, we're going to put J. Edgar a little special bonus. He was fucking with him. Talk about King, we do some J. Edgar, okay? We ain't going to do no I Got a Dream and shit. We're going to go into more detail on the Poor People's Campaign, what that was, and how that's translated into some shit today, because there's a pastor with his old cute self that can't stand up. You see him talking about doing that. But my thing with the Poor People's Campaign, you can't ask the government to give you no money. Okay? You need an Obama that's really a nigga. You feel me? You need a nigga Obama that ain't afraid to get shot. If you can free all your niggas in America, nigga, get shot. Please. Somebody. But then why has it got to go that far? Like, we going to shoot. That's why the Panthers got the guns. Because the Panthers, nigga, we cannot carry in Cali. Thanks to Panthers. You can go to Texas, where all them states, so all them old hicks are shooting up everybody and running people over. Oh, you can carry your shit all day long. Virginia, yee-hoo, all the, yeah. Oh, beautiful Cali. You can't flash, get a nigga out your beach house. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the Panthers. Because they were scaring niggas. See, the ones that were so scary, right? I'm sure slaves were scared. Them niggas were scared when they was all tied up at the bottom of that boat. I know that was scary. Imagine how scary that was. Right? The niggas that ancestors of them niggas. Oh, now they scared. I like God, because God is real. I like the laws of the universe, because them motherfuckers are real. And if you think they ain't, you're a fool. Ain't enough black people, and I see it this way. I see the reason why I'm free. I'm free, Stacy free, because Stacy gave a fuck about being free, you see. Black people ain't free because not enough black people as a whole, baby. As a solid as a rock. Dun, 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 dun. No. So I don't know when that's going to be, if ever. And like some ignorant black construction worker, I got a problem with. Well, I'm not do-do-do. You a black male. They'll shoot you as if you ain't making as much money as you're making, okay? They'll think twice on me. They'll let me run a little before they shoot, nigga. They gonna shoot you right there. It don't make a difference to America, police, white people that want, that don't give a fuck about you. They don't care you making money. You make them more mad. Okay? You a free nigga. They might have to call you for something. So until we all free, ain't none of us free, is my point. And at least niggas like these niggas try to do something. All right, survival programs. And you can thank the Black Panthers. Every time you drop your grandson or go with him to eat that good-ass breakfast food. Some schools now, if you go to a ghetto, what? You know what? I don't know. I love Sacramento because the worst neighborhood in Sacramento don't compare to some places in Lala, in Los Angeles. I'm like, oh, girl, please. Let me take you to L.A., okay? Let me take you to some of these public schools off of Western and some, nigga. Shit. You really be mad. I'm like, nah, Sacramento. This jelly. Sacramento jelly. Ain't nobody. Food ain't took Sacramento over. People, food trucks, they just letting them come in. Like, shit, you know, white people can't. They fuck anything up. That's why Chinese food flourishing in Sacramento. Okay, you can only take so much mac and cheese, boo boo. That's why, ooh, wait till Effie Brown smoked meats. Effie Browns, remember that name. F.E. Browns smoked meats. Who's Effie Brown? Don't worry about it. That's Gany's baby. Effie Brown, he got a business and he don't even know it. Anyway, one thing I'm going to leave, and I've already left my kids. Okay. All right. Is how to make your money. Get your niche, make your goddamn money. That's it. That's everybody. Learn. If you got your degree, go job it for a minute. Figure out which one of those things you do, you can do from home, boo-boo. Work on your black, I'm black, but my voice is white. You'd be good. Because America's got to stop being so ignorant, you see. And I hope by now we realize ain't nobody giving us no extra opportunities, even our black president. His job was to make you feel good, and you did. I did, until I realized, well, wait, he didn't really do shit to help me. And right now my business tax is lower because of Trump, because I'm a business owner. That's the only reason. My one out of 30 black people that are. I'm trying to make that at least. Shit. Can we get it up to 10? Fuck. Really not that hard. But no, because when you've been programmed your whole life to be a servant, see, when it's in your genes to be a servant, you figure, oh, okay, my new servitude is to get my degree and go work for somebody. Make them even richer and not miserable. Oh, but I'm doing good. I have my degree. Like Kanye say, I've got all these degrees. When he was in WAC, that Kanye. That album. So, that's what the Panthers was trying to do. And then, of course, so just know, no matter where you are, if you're happy, there's somebody looking at you that's mad because you're happy. I don't know. America needs a psychiatrist and a psychologist. So I'm going to help. So I'm going to take my thousands of dollars of psychology books, ranging from human sexuality all the way down to, or up and down and back again, to abnormal psychology, biological psychology, social psychology, name it, If you name a psychology, I took it, I bought the book, I got an A, or I dropped out. And then I got an F because I just said, fuck it, I got enough, I got the book. I'm not here to try to do what y'all all do. You kids, I'm just having fun. They're like, oh, Miss Johnson, this is a real college, honey. You can't just come in, take a couple of weeks, almost the final, and just say, I'm sorry, I got to go. I can't? Yeah, you got to, if you want to get back in, you got to go to, I failed two times, the counseling. I'm like, fuck this. Just give me the book. Just give me my $200 book. Give me my $275 book. That's really all I need. So, yeah, a couple of them. Passed with abnormal psychology. At the time, I was married to somebody crazy. So I got an A in that class. I love it. And I'm going to pass it on to my family and friends. Don't let your nigga be crazy. Something like that. We'll share it. And we're going to start with social psychology and prejudice. What it is. It's just a game, people. It's just a game. You're falling into. See? God said yes. Thank you, God. All right. So where are we at right now? Survival programs. Okay, so that's what they did. The kids' little food programs. That you can thank all the schools. Okay, they did even testing for sickle cell disease, a predominantly black disease. So they did things, see? Not just talked about it and shit and marched. No, they had offices and kids came, they ate, and all that good old shit. Okay, so, shootouts and shit. So they had schools, all of that, you know. I think they had schools up until 82, actually. But it was too much in these days when it was too much people stealing from the pot. You know, too much getting shot up. Too much chaos, right, in order for them to do what they needed to do for black people. Really, that's really, and it was really about how much chaos, how much chaos and how long is it going to take for us to tear these niggas completely apart. So, one good thing that did it was the death of Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton was very charismatic, very handsome. He had dimples. And he was like, almost kind of like me. Didn't give a fuck and told the truth. You know, but unfortunately, his group was infiltrated by a motherfucker that at the end of the night and the day that the cops went in and killed up everybody, including him. And he was really, in Chicago, I believe. He was stationed there. Chicago. But, yeah, we got some Fred Hampton because I am a revolutionary. That's his shit. You know? And you know, it's like people do this shit with the intention that somebody's going to continue it if in fact, their life is ended because of their sacrifice, you know? Eldridge Cleaver kind of went on. He was just riffing a little bit too much. So we won't play him tonight. I'll just post him. All right, so I believe this is my Fred Hampton. Let's see. Uh-oh. She's not Fred Hampton. Okay, hold on. There we go. Oh, no. Hold on. That's H. Rap Brown. We don't want that one. Okay, here we go. Let's get Fred Hampton. We've got quite a few. Here we go.
You basically know in mind, Al, you basically, you know, you could support one of our programs, you know what I'm saying?
Why not?
And I believe in programs like the Mexican Children Program, New York Clinic. I don't know.
I believe they're good things. As a focal point to organize their mothers and fathers.
There's no education program here?
Spiked his drink. His wife, girl, fiance, pregnant, spiked his drink. They go to bed. He can't. He don't even hear what everybody else hear. All the cops coming in shooting. Cause he passed out because they done spiked two drinks. They shoot him point blank while he's still laying in the bed next to his fiance. Cause yeah, what he telling niggas? Education. And how bold, how dare these niggas in the 60s, right? How dare these niggas be bold enough to tell a nigga how they can control their own goddamn life? How dare you, nigga? Right? That's what J. Edgar was saying while he's sitting there having sex with men. He ain't being bold enough to tell people about that, right? But he's trying to ruin the lives of black Americans, just like your uncles and aunts and my brothers and sisters. My parents were much older at this time. But yeah, this could have been my brother. Easily could have been one of my brothers trying to get us free. That's some shit. So yeah, shit like that. Over time, so the end of the Black Panther Party, over time, infiltration, get niggas in there. And then the ones that's in there, Huey starts, you know, stealing money and shit. Then he'd get on drugs. He end up doing some shit, go back to jail. He shuffle off the partnership to a woman. Okay, so I think just like America today, the biggest problem is they don't know how to incorporate women. Right? They don't know how to incorporate sisters. You know? So they end up doing all this man boosting and end up in a bad way. So that's basically what happened to these dudes in the end. Huey ended up putting the leadership in a woman's hands, and of course none of the dudes was going to listen to her. So, you know, they wasn't messing with her. And then, you know, through a lot of it, we hear about Angela Davis, right? She's a very prominent, still alive, right? Still alive today. A professor, the shit, 76 years old, the shit, right? And she was one of, see, and she came to the Panthers very educated. Okay, so she just had a birthday, January 26th. American political activist, philosopher, academic, and author. Okay, she is a professor emeritus at University of California, Santa Cruz. She's a Marxist, of course. That was the Panthers' ideology, and we'll go over that. Okay, she was a member of the Communist Party. Until 91? Wow. So, I don't know. Democracy and socialism, that's her shit. She joined, that's what she's doing now. But there ain't nobody better still alive than Angela Davis, because Angela Davis went to jail. Angela Davis did a lot of shit related to the Black Panthers. She fought her whole life. She comes as an educated sister. One of them cum laudes got a scholarship to go to college. And so the thing about the Black Panthers is they wasn't a bunch of ignorant-ass niggas just getting together with guns and saying, no, bro, and smoking weed. You know, the inception, the idea, the philosophy where it was all about protecting black people and our rights and stopping the fucking brutality, bro. Stopping it. You know, it's bad enough. I mean, damn, ain't building your country good enough, bro? You just got to keep it going. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Angela Davis. I got some stuff on her and Black Lives Matter, and I love her because she compares the two. Right? She compares the two. And how one, this is beautiful. So what we're going to do right now, mama going to take a break. This is, you know, just ask a nigga, this your favorite nigga in the whole United States. And I sure hope you loving this Black History presentation with my voice and my ideas, but also some history and shit. That's why I love me some YouTube. All of the videos we will post on the website eventually before the end of the weekend, I'm sure. Mama busy. Mama got to make money. Mama got to sleep. Okay, because mama got to stay sexy. So let's take a cool break, cool cats, and we'll be right back. This is Just Ask a Nigga. Black History Month begins now. The Black Panthers and all power to my people, always. Welcome back. This is your nigga on Just Ask a Nigga. All about all the niggas you love. I got the Vokes, don't I? Born with them. Born with them. You know, depending on what I want to do with them. How's everybody? Are you feeling like you want to go buy a leather jacket but not be spied on at the same time? I love anybody that helped the nigga, because, hey, we can count them on one hand at this point, and they stopped, right? Oh, thy brother's keeper over 1,000 black men. Where, nigga? Come on. Don't try to play me. See, and that's what's going on in America. Everybody playing everybody. I'm unplayable. I mean, certain people can play me, but you get so much resentment. Don't be like me. Don't resent. Then your bones start hurting. You start to have to pray. You got to pray. You got to buy Osteofold Bi-Flex or whatever the shit it is. Don't let people mistreat your body. Everything comes out in your body. You know that, right? All your negativity, you manifest in your body. So be good to yourself. Think good. You want a good body. We want to be around a long time. We can do that now. So we're going to end our Black Panther shit with some lady action. We had enough man boosting. See, all the man boosting, right? Oh, God, ladies, I'm not into football. There will be no, I might watch football. I don't know. It depends on what I got to teach a class on Saturday and Sunday. I don't know why I did that, but I did. So for the rest of you football players and lovers of football, there's going to be a lot of man boosting. Right, football. Ooh, and everybody was so happy as they were buying. Oh, I gotta make Jello shots. Da 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 da. Have fun. Be good. Don't drink too much. Uber the nigga home. And use condoms. That's all I can say. A lot of man boosting. Okay, so be good this weekend. Won't be on tomorrow, but we will be on Saturday, starting with Malcolm X, our baby. By any means necessary. Also killed, right? So, try bringing it up. Back in those days. You know. Crazy. So, we're going to end it with the ladies. Angela Davis. And so, what did I want to add? I wanted to make sure I added, oh, and I've forgotten. I don't write it down. Oh, yeah. Towards the end, I'm looking at it. You know, they start tripping towards the end. You know, Huey comes, gets out of prison, and the lady was in charge, and he gets back in charge and starts, you know, reprimanding, doing crazy shit, disciplining people, just crazy shit that eventually would break any organization down. Okay, so that's basically, you know, the end of the 77, 82 is when Huey came back and demise of the party. So in 77, Newton returned from exile in Cuba because he did some shit, prepared to go to exile. He appointed, Elaine Brown was the lady that was in charge, but nobody listened to her. Okay, he was arrested in 74. 74? Yeah. He went to Cuba in 74 to not be for some stupid shit he did. You know, he's half the problem, you know. I mean, in the beginning, but I don't know, in the end, he just started tripping. You know, he started going to jail for just stupid shit. So that kind of, you know, messed it up. And then, you know, started killing important people within the organization, when they say, hey, I think he's using the money in the wrong way, they come up missing. Okay, so he got away on that one because of something, you know? So really, he was the problem towards the end, on top of the cops always being the problem. And so, you know, if you black, if there's anything halfway you've done wrong and the cops know it, well, you know, they're going to get you. That's it. Right? And so I want to end with the women. Because out of all of this mess, it was good. You know, all the women ran all the programs. One prominent woman that's still kicking today, 76 years old, teaching college. People respect her, been to jail, got out, talking shit about the cops. Angela Davis. But she was a part of the program, educated woman, helped to run the program, messing with Eldridge for a minute. She herself left the country. But then what I want to end with is her currently speaking about, you know, the difference between the Black Panther Party and Black Lives Matter. And I think it's real important. You know, we as black people, we don't have our old black people to to hear from, or if we do, we don't listen to them. Shit, we don't listen to our old black people that have been here and know. We think we know more than everybody. That's social media makes us think we know more than every goddamn body. I'm lucky to know and blessed to know I don't. So I love hearing the bitch that, you know, in the shit, went to jail, wakes up every day and watches the news, is relevant today, and can give me her idea on what's going on. So we're going to play us some current Angela Davis from just 2018. Boo. You lucky. We all lucky. She's still with us.
But I wanted to. Do I have time?
Yeah, right.
I wanted to say a few words about the tendency to assume that Black Lives Matter, for example, represents the return of the Black Panther Party. And, of course, there's always a tendency to want to do a compare and contrast, you know, kind of analysis. But if one considers the relationship between the Black Panther Party, which celebrated its 50th anniversary in 2016. Is that right? Last year it was founded in 1966, yes. So as we consider the relationship between the Black Panther Party and the contemporary Black Lives Matter movement, and of course there are many organizations. There's the Black Youth Project, there's Asata's Daughters, there's the Dream Defenders, there's Justice League. There are a whole number of black youth organizations across the country. But if one considers the relationship between the Black Panther Party and the contemporary Black Lives Matter movement, it feels like the decades and generations that separate one from the other create a certain incommensurability as a consequence of all of the economic and political and cultural and technological changes that make the contemporary moment so different in many important respects from the late 1960s. So I was thinking perhaps we should seek connections between the two movements that are revealed not so much in the similarities, but rather through their radical differences. The Black Panther Party emerged as a response to the police occupation of Oakland, California, which incidentally is where I have lived for the last 40 years or so. The police occupation of Oakland and many other urban communities across the country. It was an absolutely brilliant move on the part of Huey Newton and Bobby Seale to patrol the neighborhood with guns and law books. The gun representing resistance and the law book representing democratic rights. But you know that story, right? About what they did. They simply would go up to the police who would be arresting someone and they'd ask the people with the law book, "Are you aware of your rights?" And the gun, which at that point was legal, it is not now legal to carry a weapon in public in California, as it is in Texas and Kansas and many other places, but that's another question. And you know about the problems we have with gun violence. And so basically what they did was to police the police. They policed the police. They patrolled the police. And at the same time, the strategy was admittedly also inspired by the emergence of guerrilla struggles in Cuba, liberation struggles in Southern Africa and in the Middle East, and by the successful resistance offered by the National Liberation Front in Vietnam. But in retrospect, this strategy, which was so brilliant and led to the expansion of the Black Panther Party, not only all over the country, but all over the world. But in retrospect, it reflected a failure to recognize, as Audre Lorde put it, that the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. In other words, the use of guns, even primarily as symbols of resistance, conveyed the message that the police could be challenged effectively by relying on explicitly policing strategies. And I'm being self-critical here in these reflections on our time 50 years ago. Black Lives Matter, which initially emerged in the aftermath of the hashtag emerged in the aftermath of the killing of Trayvon Martin. And then in Ferguson, 2014, the protest in Ferguson spurred the three women, Opal Tometi, Alicia Garza, and Patrice Cullors to create a network. And this manifested a collective desire to demand justice for Mike Brown, who was killed in Ferguson, and for all of the black lives sacrificed on the altar of racist police terror. But they also asked us to radically resist the racist violence at the very heart of policing structures and strategies. Black Lives Matter very early on recognized that we could not simply demand accountability for individual police officers. Rather, we would have to place the demand to demilitarize the police at the very center of our efforts to move toward a more critical and more collective mode of justice. And this was ultimately linked to an approach that calls for abolition of policing as we know and experience it. Demilitarization also contested the ways in which police strategies have been transnationalized within circuits that link very small U.S. police departments, such as the one in Ferguson, Missouri, to Israel, which dominates the arena of militarized policing associated, of course, with the occupation of Palestine. So you see the movement from policing the police to developing an understanding of the role of militarization within police departments, which allowed us to recognize the extent to which police departments are descended from slave patrols historically. And at the same time, in receiving this so-called counter-terror training, it links our understanding of racism with the emergence of a terrible Islamophobia that is justified by the so-called war on terror. And so it means that our understanding of racism has to become more complicated. If Islamophobia becomes one of the most spectacular and dramatic expressions of racism today. And so this means that black people who want to challenge racism must necessarily engage in actions of solidarity with
So, if you hear what she has to say, a ex-Black Panther said, well, how we differ from Black Lives Matter is in that we try to match power with power. And as we can see, you know, like history, you know, we can YouTube history. As we can see, we were outmatched. But what she's saying as far as today, which they did then, was to say that, okay, you hating Black people, Islamophobia is just as bad as what you're doing to us. It's just as bad as what you're doing to anyone else. And so, and I think that's true too. You know, when you see the mosque or the mosque blown up or the temples, right? You see the Jewish people and my hope is that don't ask me to, as a African-American, and this is, you know, my view is, as an African, I can't just come in and swoop in and support you in your sorrow, right? We all support each other, and it's always so with the Black, the white dude that came in and killed all the people while they was praying, every race, every religion. Don't just support us in our sorrow when you know we can't eat, we can't pay bills, we can't send our kids to the schools like you can. I mean, I looked at some of the, you know, when the Jewish facilities get shot up and how they come together, and like, oh, yeah, that was a Saturday, whatever program that they got set up. I went, well, what is our Saturday? My hope for the future is that people that hate people, they kind of got an MO and an ID, and they hate all the rest of us. And so when we can understand that we have to make everybody strong, that I can't just show up for your sorrow. Me, black person, I mean, we good at showing up for everybody's sorrow, you know, but show up for my prosperity. Can you help me prosper as a race of people like you guys have? That's all I'm saying. Can we just put it out there like that? Could you show me or could you support me in this American government? Because everybody knows how they keep a nigga down. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. It's no mystery to any race of people what's happened to Blacks and what continues to happen. So what, that tell me all of you guys are scared if I get a little tiny leg up? So I can't, you know, that's why when like cops get shot, Black people don't care. I can't support you in your sorrow. I support you in your sorrow, but you don't support me in my prosperity. If I could support you in your sorrow, can you support me to help me prosper? You know what I'm saying? So it's like love is a two-way street. You know, if you want me to feel sorry for you, can you feel sorry for me? Can you feel sorry for me? Can you, all other races of people that constantly see that little line that goes up and down about the wealth in the families of this race of people and our race, can you feel sorry for me that in the one that's the Black line always is at the bottom, even though you only started coming here in the 70s? I've been here since the Love Boat landed and they started saying cotton is king in my ass. Can you support me to try to, figure out why my government don't want me to prosper? Because, you know, every time you rich motherfuckers get together and end up shot up or whatever, All we try to do is have our little football party. We get shot up. Ain't nobody got our funeral money and that. You know what I'm saying? So, Black Panthers came about at a time where they really thought they could get away with helping niggas, right? There's always a, like Kobe nigga thought he could get away with flying in the fog. Well, guess what, nigga? You can't. That's life. Ain't life a bitch? Life is such a crazy bitch. You just gotta enjoy it. Oh, my God. We're only given so many seconds. A lot of it, how you spend those seconds, got to do with what you be thinking about, though, bro. And I love the Black Panthers because me, as a woman that grew up as a child in South Central Los Angeles, that really loved being black and understood that this was like, it wasn't a curse, it was a blessing. It's a blessing to be born this race of people. And then to be introduced to these types of niggas that really put their neck out. See, they didn't just get on Twitter or get on one of these shows and complain about how bad it is for black people. But I don't see a program that you got together where you even trying to teach them how to talk right or some shit. I'm a backpack, something. So that's what we trying to do every day, Black History. I think we're going to wrap up our Black Panthers for tonight. Every video is going to be posted on its own page. Some of this writing that I read from, we'll post that as well. Tomorrow we'll talk about Malcolm X. You know, you see how I ended it with the ladies, right? Because of all the Black Panthers still alive, she going strong. Right, this is just 18, okay, 2018. Going strong. Still trying to rep for the people. That's all you can do. 76 years old, still trying to rep for the people. That's all you can do. Still learn, love, live, and try to rep for the people. So you know this your nigga. This your favorite nigga every day and every night because you know I'm your nigga every day and every night repping for the people. So have a good night. Know that I love you. And I love this shit. So next class, people, gonna be some Malcolm X. We gonna mix in our J. Edgar nigga in there, and then we do some Stokely, cause he was really he's a nigga. Stokely Carmichael. I like sharing with black people all the black people that make black people feel good about being black. You know what I'm saying? I feel good about being black. I want you to feel good about being black because that's an honor, goddamn it. From your favorite right nigga on Thursday, January 30th, 2020, I will see you on Saturday. Much love always. Kiss everybody you know and tell them Stacy said I love them.